Let's talk a little college football. Let's recap maybe the midway point for Texas A&M so far. Give me some evaluations of the midpoint for their season.
Well, frankly, we're not quite sure what to make of the Aggies right now. You know, after they started off with such a big, impressive, decisive win over South Carolina, you know, everybody got to thinking, hey, this team might be pretty good. Then had the close call against Arkansas. You know, things started slowing down once they started playing SEC West teams, and the loss against Mississippi State, where they had about, depending on who was counting, 10 to 15 drop passes, and then just really got beat in the at the line of scrimmage and lost to Ole Miss. So Texas A&M's kind of at a crossroads, and usually, you know, you want to know what you got before you're going into Tuscaloosa.
No doubt. But you look at Texas A&M. Right now we're talking with columnist Olin Buchanan. It's TexAggs.com, who covers the Texas A&M Aggies there in College Station. What do you think is the strength of this football team?
Well, you know, that's a pretty good question. They felt like the strength was going to be the offensive line, which did not play particularly well last week. But overall, I think they had a pretty decent year. And then the group of wide receivers. You know, they had lost Mike Evans, which I know everybody in Tuscaloosa will remember him for the big game he had.
It was a nightmare, right? 250 plus.
Right. So he's in Tampa Bay now. Despite losing him, you know, they felt like they were pretty, you know, going to put a pretty good receiving core out there. And they've been playing really well, getting a lot of production from the receiving core, and it kind of dropped off the last 2 weeks. I think that's no coincidence that Malcolm Kennedy, who those Alabama fans might remember from catching big pass in Tuscaloosa 2 years ago, Malcolm Kennedy has been out with a separated shoulder the last 2 weeks. And I think there's no coincidence that the drop in production could be traced back to, you know, getting him out of the lineup.
Olin Buchanan right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa on Tide 99.1. Let me also talk about the weaknesses, because where there's a strength, there's got to be a weakness. If you're looking at Texas A&M and you're going to try to expose them in a certain spot, what is it?
Well, you know, defensively, they've had some issues. They've had some issues at times stopping the run, even though they're light years ahead of where they were against the run last year when they were about as bad as any team in the country. They've gotten better in that aspect, but... And then they've had some problems in the secondary. And they go together, because when it comes down to stopping the run so often, they've had to just really load up in the box and just sell out to stop the run. And, of course, that's fine if the other team runs. But we've seen teams don't play action. They've been kind of susceptible to big plays. A&M has given up a whole bunch of big plays in the passing game. And, you know, it's just a defense that at times can be pretty good, but at times I've had a lot of trouble getting off the field on third down, and at times just been had a lot of trouble just making plays. If they can ever tighten up that tendency to give up big plays, and I'm talking like, you know, 40, 50 yard touchdown passes, you know, maybe they could be pretty good. But I think that's the next step they've got to do, is figure out a way to get more reliable coverage and get off the field.
What do you think the matchup is? There's always a game within a game. Obviously, Alabama and Texas A&M now hours away. But what's the matchup that you're keying in on?
Well, you know, one of them might surprise you, because we know of A&M as being a pass-first team, and they still will be. But I think for A&M to really be successful, they're going to have to run the ball at least efficiently. And when I say efficiently for A&M, that doesn't mean they have to go out and rush for 150 to 200 yards. But it means when they run the ball, they need to be able to pick up 4 or 5 yards per attempt. Last week against Ole Miss, they averaged 1.5 yards per run. And that just, after a while, Ole Miss didn't even have to respect A&M as a running team, and was able to drop 8 guys back in coverage without even thinking twice about it. And as good as Ole Miss's defense is, I know that Alabama's even better against the run. So I think that A&M offensive line against Alabama's defensive front is really important. Of course, you know, there are those that are going to say, well, A&M might have an advantage with the receivers against Alabama's secondary, and that might be the case. But I think A&M's going to have at least some measure of success running the football. You got to have some balance.
You look at the numbers, are they inflated a little bit? I know the average is still right there around 400 yards per game on passing. They were able to put up 401 against Ole Miss last week at a solid defensive side, but they've had some competition there that has not been up to par. Are those numbers a little bit skewed because of maybe some of those non-conference opponents?
Well, I think so, but more than that, it would be like late in the game against Mississippi State. Mississippi State had that game in hand. They knew it, and they were playing back, allowing A&M to complete passes during the fourth quarter. Just didn't want to give up big plays. But, yeah, when you play, they came out and played so well against South Carolina. And so, that 510 or 511 yards or whatever it was that Kenny Hill threw for, that was impressive. But when you follow it up and you're playing Rice and Lamar and SMU, that obviously is going to skew what your numbers look like. Now, I will say this: in some of those games, they just really they took Kenny Hill out fairly early and didn't try to run up the score and things like that. But yeah, it has to be skewed. And I think when they got into the SEC West play and opened up against Arkansas, I think that scheduling really came back to cause them problems, because all of a sudden we're going to play at a much higher and much faster pace with a first-year starter at quarterback, and I think that was part of the problem with them getting going against Arkansas. If they wanted to place blame on anybody on reasons why they were getting off to a slow start in SEC West play, they could have looked at their own schedule makers.
Olin, you've been covering college football for a number of years, and I don't want to point out your age, but I featured you. I mean, I've been on the air since 2000, and I featured you for a long time on my show. Did you ever think that we would get away from base running attack where you've got two backs in the backfield, a tight end, a couple of wide receivers? Now it's all spread them out wide, and obviously that's the style of offense that a lot of coaches right now are coaching. Do you ever think we'd get to this point where we are right now in college football?
Well, I can't say I had that much foresight that I could say, yeah, it's just like this. But, we all know that college football is constantly evolving and changing. I can remember when when Miami and teams like that in the early 80s started throwing the football, and there was this head scratching, what is going on here? But there was a time when everybody was running the wishbone, and before that, when that was introduced, what is this? So college football is constantly has constantly been changing, always, and somebody, we went through the run and shoot, and I guess that the style of offense we're seeing, a lot of them are an offshoot of that, but somebody's always trying to build a better mousetrap, and what do you know, sometimes the guys do it. I think when you really look where college football started really changing to me, I go back to when Steve Spurrier came to the SEC and introduced the passing game that a lot of good teams had never seen before, and people said, hey, what, you can be successful with this kind of, with these kind of offenses in the biggest, most powerful league, it'll work anywhere. So, why not? And you got away from teams just like in the WAC and places like that who are always throwing around. You started seeing, more established leagues throw around too.
Great premium website there for Alabama fans. If you want to go and get a little bit of a sneak peek on the Texas A&M Aggies, the website texags.com. And there's even some opportunities that you don't have to subscribe. Some free things happening on that website where you can go and get a lot of previews. And one of the very popular websites in college athletics, texags.com. The columnist here, Olin Buchanan. As always, thanks so much for being a part of our show. Have a safe travels over to our part of the country, and we'll look forward to seeing the press box on Saturday afternoon.
Looking forward to getting there, Ryan. Thanks again for having me on.